Hi, everybody. I'm Susanna Mars. Welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. I'm sitting here with Nick Bruno, who is the publicity and promotions for Northwest Film Center, and there are an awful lot of wonderful things happening there that I think a lot of our listeners would like to know about. And being a total film buff as I am, I'm so delighted to have a chance to talk to you.
Well, thanks for having me over here into the idea room, Susanna.
Yeah.
In case no one has described this space where this podcast is taped before, we're sitting in Artslandia's idea room. It says it on the wall.
And don't hesitate to mention who's sitting with us.
Oh, yeah.
Or she's kind
just
of standing.
Staring us down. We've got Hillary Clinton in the corner, or a standee of her, at least. A cardboard standee.
An idea room depiction of her.
Absolutely.
So you have got an incredible series coming up called Top Down, which happens at the Hotel Deluxe.
Right.
All the month of August. And if you could tell everybody about that, it just sounds like a blast. You show up at the Hotel Deluxe, the doors open at 7, there's music at 8, and a film at dusk. Bring friends, and how much does it cost to come and attend, and where can you get tickets?
Oh, so you can get tickets at nwfilm.org, and I urge you to buy them in advance, because if you buy them in advance, they're only $10. Mm-hmm. If you buy them at the door, you're going to spend a little bit more. It's $12.
Mm-hmm.
This is our 13th year. It's our lucky number 13th year producing Top Down Rooftop Cinema up there with our partner Hotel Deluxe. We're showing one film every Thursday night during the month of August. We're starting this coming Thursday, August 3rd, with The Awful Truth. And one thing to point out about these films is that we're going to be doing the features, but in addition to that, we'll be showing a short film by a Northwest filmmaker before the features.
What a fun way to see new artists in that film genre.
Right, and part of our mission is to expose the area to the work being produced in the area. And so it's just, an extension of that.
Wow, that's fascinating. There are probably quite a lot of filmmakers in this area.
I would say so, yeah. We get, for our Northwest Filmmakers Festival, which happens every year in November, we get hundreds of submissions. And those, of course, get narrowed down by a judge, and then we show a full 5 days worth of work.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Now, you mentioned The Awful Truth, and I know you told me that's with Cary Grant and Irene Dunne.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that it's maybe one of the best romantic comedies ever.
In my opinion, yeah. I programmed Top Down, and so this has been a film that I've wanted to show for some time there. Mm-hmm. I've been doing Top Down for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
My former co-worker, Thomas Phillipson, did the prior 11 years. And so I'm trying to make it as good as Thomas made it back in the day.
It's funny because way back in the day when I was a kid, my dad liked to show movies on the lawn of our house.
Oh, yeah.
And he would get, this might, age me for sure, but he'd get the big projector. And I remember watching movies with the blankets and the popcorn. And it's just such a fun way to see a movie outside. I don't know what it is. It's magic.
Yeah, no, I before doing this and before even working at the Film Center, I would have backyard movie nights.
You did.
Yeah.
You're a total film buff.
I'm a total film nerd.
How the heck did you even get... Now, you said you grew up with a military background, so you were moving a lot. Did movies kind of provide you with some stability in terms of, somewhere where you could put your feet?
Well, I think the arts in general provided me with some stability. My parents were, unlike a lot of kids that were living on the military bases, my parents were very much wanting to, like when we lived in Europe, leave the base and go on vacation and experience museums and architecture and all that Europe had to offer. And so I started with the arts and then sort of specifically narrowed down to film.
Huh, that's interesting. Don't you wonder sometimes what it is about a specific genre that draws you in?
Yeah, I think in terms of films, they encapsulate so much about the world and just very strong points of view from a very specific place. And so I think it's interesting to see how people live and operate in other places around the globe.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. So The Awful Truth is on August 3rd. Mm-hmm. And then the next showing is August 10th, which will be Shaft.
Yes.
And then Army of Darkness is the third film.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about, well, tell people about Shaft, even though I know Shaft.
Okay, so Shaft.
You know, may as well go through the whole thing.
Shaft is Gordon Parks, the famed photographer's blaxploitation film. It's actually, he made two Shaft films. Mm-hmm. This is by far the biggest and most well-known blaxploitation film of all time. It has this incredible soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It's about a private eye on the streets of New York City, and there's a gang war.
Shaft.
And, yep, and Shaft.
I just hear the music, see the underscore, I hear it.
Yeah, so that'll be really fun. And I'm hoping that each week at Top Down, we're having a DJ provided by X-Ray. One of their DJs is coming out and spinning records.
Nice.
And I do hope that the DJ that night plays as much into that theme as possible.
I can't imagine they wouldn't. You know, it's funny you say spinning records because, you know, I have a 17-year-old daughter who just bought a record player.
Oh, okay.
And I am just so loving this resurgence of love of vinyl.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and how I just think it's great.
Has she made her way into the world of Isaac Hayes yet?
No. Tell me more.
Oh, well, I mean, he's the guy behind the soundtrack for Shaft, so.
Oh, so know. Maybe, that might be a great record to get her.
Yeah, all that great wah-wah pedal.
Yeah. Bring back the wah-wah.
Yeah.
So then Army of Darkness is the next film.
Yeah, it's Sam Raimi's third film in the Evil Dead trilogy. And for anyone who's worried about, you know, dropping in for the first time into that trilogy with the third film, it's its own standalone piece. It's a horror comedy film, kind of light on the horror, very much heavy on the comedy. It stars Bruce Campbell, who is a very popular cult actor, known primarily for his role in these films, and it's just a sort of a mild-mannered, not Kmart, but Kmart-like store employee who happens to have had this connection to this book of the dead called the Necronomicon. And it summons demons, and he has to fight them, and there's time travel. He's in medieval times. It's pretty zany.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's sort of held together by a very like thin thread, but it really works. It's delightful.
Oh, that's great. And then the next movie is This Is Spinal Tap, which is co-sponsored by Artist Repertory Theater, which is very close to my heart.
We love Artist.
In fact, I have tickets to that event in my purse right now. And, you know, the first popular mockumentary you were talking about earlier, tell us a little bit about why you chose that one.
Well, it's, as you sort of hinted at, it's not the first mockumentary ever made. I'm not actually sure what that is. Maybe it's a Woody Allen film.
Oh, you're right, because even Bananas has references to, you know, recreated real events style. Oh, that's interesting.
But
what's that? Take the Money and Run, maybe.
Yeah, Take the Money and Run is a good example. Yeah. But this is the first one where sort of the idea of making a fake documentary became huge in the zeitgeist. Yeah, Christopher Guest is in it, and as I think most of your listeners know, he's gone on to make a complete career of this style of filmmaking.
Right.
It follows, I feel a little silly explaining this because I feel like most of the listeners know this, but it follows this fake metal band called Spinal Tap that are probably the most horrid band in the world. Conceptually, you know, musically, they can chuggle a little bit, but it's them on a comeback tour that's not quite landing.
Right.
And it's hilarious. It's Rob Reiner's maybe best film. It's either that or else When Harry Met Sally.
Yes. And I do have to say, you know, the whole Stonehenge part, you know, have you been to Maryhill Museum?
I have.
I'm just saying that would be a really good movie to show there.
Yeah.
I was like, really? Wow. Okay. Anyway, there's another one because in August there's five Thursdays, right?
Right.
So the next one is Spring Breakers.
Spring Breakers, which is honestly the film that I wanted to show the most.
How come?
Well, I think last year, and this happens every single time I program anything, at the end of the process of programming and putting together our schedule for the summer, her. The moment I went to print, I was like, oh, Spring Breakers. I should have shown Spring Breakers.
Oh, this time you get to do it.
But it's a very recent film compared to the rest of them. It stars James Franco, and it is Harmony Korine's first really strongly mainstream film. For those of you who don't know who Harmony Korine is, he is an underground filmmaker of sorts. He made Gummo. He's a provocateur. And with this film, he takes a deep look at spring break culture, as sort of mediated by MTV and other large media outlets. And not only embraces it as it's presented by those outlets, but then also sort of subverts that take and cross-pollinates it with this story about a heist involving a rapper, and it's really hard to describe.
What I liked, what we were talking about it earlier, and the idea of, you know, these students who are in college, you know, gathering their education to go into the mm-hmm. world, but where like this educational world and then this real world kind of collide, where they don't. That's so fascinating to me, how people behave on these spring break trips. People who are, you know, going to learn how to be a doctor, or a lawyer, and then they're raising their top up and exactly. baring their breasts. I mean, what, it's like a strange, weird place where there's no me, or do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yeah. strange.
Yeah, and I think out of everything that we're showing during this time, I'm really exceptionally excited to watch this with 500 people.
Yeah, oh, that's good to actually to talk about. There are 500 people. It's a nice group of people, yeah. like a big group. Yeah. So what a fun way to share an evening, too. I was curious, what's your hope? And I would bet it to you know create community and have a really fun time and mm-hmm. And do you have any other thoughts about what your hope is, what you're trying to create, you know, with these evenings?
Well, there's a couple of things. Top Down tends to be one of our biggest, most public-facing events that we do during the calendar year. Mm-hmm. We also produce the Portland International Film Festival, mm-hmm. Which does also... It's probably our biggest event. Gets us the most attention during the calendar mm-hmm. year. But Top Down is a moment where we sort of just let our hair down mm-hmm. and show that we can have fun and that it's not always about, you know, films about serious social issues right. around the world.
You know, speaking of, do you find, I know when I, you know, was at a time in my life where I watched a lot of international film, mm-hmm. Do you find that there's a similar number of films being made about serious social issues, or does the United States fare similarly with addressing serious social issues, or are most of our films entertainment, just in it, you know, comparatively?
I think it depends on what sector of the entertainment industry in the U.S. you're looking at. Like, mm-hmm. if you're looking at like the doc making community mm-hmm. in the U.S., there's a lot of serious social work being made. Mm-hmm. A film that I saw recently that is really amazing, and I hope we get to show it at some point, is called Night School, which is about a program where adults in, I want to say Indianapolis, I think that's true, mm-hmm. Are able to go back to school and not get a GED at the end of the program, but actually get a high school diploma and, mm. And have a leg up mm. on the stigma that generally is getting a GED versus
a high school diploma.
Uh-huh. So I think if you're looking for that kind of work, there's a lot of it being made in the U.S. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to mainstream Hollywood to produce that work, there are films, mm-hmm. but they tend to be sort of the end of the year mm-hmm. Oscar grab mm-hmm. fair.
Right. Moonlight.
I mean, Moonlight is it's an interesting example in that the production company that produced that, A24, which mm-hmm. coincidentally are the same people who produced or distributed Spring Breakers. Mm-hmm. They
thoughtful.
They tend to acquire work, and it's made on a very small scale for not very much money. with a lot of creative control being given to the filmmakers, with the notion that because it's so inexpensive on the production side of things, that they'll be able to release it as wide as possible, and they'll be able to put more money into the marketing than they actually might into the production itself. So Moonlight is sort of an aberration when you're talking about Hollywood. It's sort of outside Hollywood.
Right. Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's certainly the pomp and circumstance of, you know, United States filmmaking, the entertainment world is definitely shadows over the documentary, but you're right, because I remember this year I ended up seeing all the documentary contenders for best short documentary this year.
Oh, okay.
And oh my gosh, what an incredible array of filmmaking.
Well, you may have seen more in that category than I did.
Yeah, it was an incredible year. And I would bet that every year is similar. Just, they're incredible stories. I think it's funny, though. Documentary filmmaking has this feeling, I think, or maybe this people feel that it's serious and therefore not entertaining. But for me, at least, some of those stories, while they kind of toe the line or they've got one foot in this storytelling that is, you know, beautiful and funny, but also emotionally connected, that it's just as entertaining to me. Just, it's a deeper well of experience.
Well, it's just another, you know, inlet to
emotion.
Someone else's story.
Right.
You know, and generally all of these stories are applicable on a universal level.
Right. I felt that this summer, entertainment-wise, the films were really wanting. Did you like anything this summer?
You know, I'm always sort of in the future with my film watching, and that I'm watching a lot of screeners. I'm going to festivals, and I'm seeing.
So things looking that, better now, because you know, there were not a lot of funny movies recently.
I
know it's not really a funny time, but come on, people.
Sure.
We still need funny.
Well, did I see something that was really funny? Oh, I was at SIFF and I saw this really hilarious and touching film called Weirdos. A Canadian film by a filmmaker named Bruce McDonald, who's been working for about 20 years, maybe even 30 years actually, on sort of an indie level, and that was great.
Did you see The Big Sick?
I didn't see The Big Sick.
I haven't seen that yet.
That was the opening film at SIFF,
but
I missed it.
I want to see that one. But this, you know, every summer I think, oh yay, movies,
right?
And there was nothing I thought yay about. Not a lot.
Yeah, I think one of my biggest yays right now is what's happening on Showtime with David Lynch's return.
Well, that's interesting because that you're doing a David Lynch retrospective.
We are.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. In fact, I'll be introducing Blue Velvet tonight.
Oh, tonight. That's exciting.
So we're showing the 30th anniversary restoration of Blue Velvet. And the series is basically constructed out of all of his feature films. But in addition to that, we're showing influence films, films that he's...
That's great.
Yeah.
Showing, like, what inspired him.
Yeah, and we've done this with a few other directors in the past. We did it with Wes Anderson. We did it with P.T. Anderson. It was actually two summers of Andersons. And then we did it with Gus Van Sant.
Oh, great.
But with the Lynch films, he's... The other filmmakers that we gave this treatment to, they tend to be very open about what has inspired them. Lynch, on the other hand, took a little more digging.
Is that right? Now, were you speaking with him, or are you mostly doing research?
Research through reading. Interviews and whatnot.
Have any of these directors offered to come out or discuss with you their inspirations?
Lynch, we would have loved to have had out, but no, that hasn't happened.
Just curious. You know, I'm sure it's probably a confluence of events, like if they're available and their interest and so on.
But... Yeah, I mean, just the three people that we've dealt with so far with sort of structure for a series, and now Lynch, those guys are all so busy.
Right.
I mean, they're always on to the next thing.
Right, and making their own art.
So yeah, but some of the influences we're showing Wizard of Oz, which was a direct influence on Wild at Heart.
Wow.
We're showing, let's see, on Monday. What are we showing on Monday? We're showing, Rear Window.
Wonderful.
Right.
And Monday's the day that this podcast will be up. So
great.
People, maybe if you're hearing this right now, go see Rear Window tonight.
Monday night at 7.
Is it the Witzel?
It's at the Witzel Auditorium in the Portland Art Museum.
Yeah, it's a beautiful theater and a lovely place to visit. Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. So also you have a French series coming up, which of course is very close to my heart because I love to take le français.
Oh, nice.
I love French. I don't know what it is. Maybe I was French in another life. I don't know. But French film is hugely important in the history of film. And how do you choose the films? And
well, in this case, what guided that was this film, this documentary that we showed a couple of weeks back, mm-hmm. and we're showing again on the 31st, or actually not on the 31st, soon, on the 30th, we're showing it on the 30th.
So it must be a Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's the 31st, no, this is Thursday, right?
The 31st is Monday, so the 30th is...
Oh, you're talking July.
July.
Yeah. I'm with you now.
It's all right. this film called My Journey Through French Cinema by Tavernet. And it's a documentary that was somewhat based on Scorsese's My Journey Through American Cinema.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so it's his very personal take on and subjective take on French cinema as it's related to his own development in film and filmmaking and the desire to make films.
Mm-hmm.
So we're showing some of the films that are featured in that. One of the highlights of the series, that was at the very end of the series, we're showing the brand new restoration of Panique, and we're going to have three screenings of that. And so that's very exciting. But we're also showing Army of Shadows, Children of Paradise, and Rules of the Game, among others.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
You're doing such good stuff.
Yeah, there's always more too.
Right. Well,
we're working on September and October right now.
And you've got northwestfilm.org is the website.
nwfilm.org.
nwfilm.org, where you can get tickets for the Top Down series. You can see what's coming up. There's all sorts of amazing things going on. So be sure to take a look at the website. And thanks, Nick, so much for telling me all about what's happening with
Absolutely.
Northwest Film Center.
Thanks for having me on the show, Susanna.
Pleasure.